Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Comedy with Cameron, a job that's no laughing matter. I'm your host, Cameron Kern, a Pierce College student on a journey to explore the vastly exciting world of comedy from professionals in the industry. It's pretty good, huh?
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. On today's episode, I'm joined by a wonderful stand-up comedian. She performs in the finest clubs all across Los Angeles. Please welcome Ellen Doyle. Did I say your last name right?
You did, yeah. Okay, thanks for having me.
Welcome to the show. I appreciate you coming.
Thanks, man.
We were talking how chilled you are. You're a chill person.
I'm pretty chill, yeah.
So this is probably going to be a nice chill episode. So just sit back and let it happen.
Enjoy the chill.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. Like, where are you from? Where are you from? First question?
That's yes. Number one? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm originally from Pennsylvania, outside Scranton. So like a coal miner town.
That's where The Office is filmed, or located.
The Office is filmed in Van Nuys, yes.
Yeah, it's not filmed there.
It's not filmed there.
That's where the show's located.
Exactly, yeah. So you've heard of us, right?
That's sweet.
Yeah, that's as cool as we get.
So, where did you attend schooling? You said you went to a school out in Pennsylvania. So tell me about your school.
I went to a couple schools. I had to go to high school, like most of us do. Yeah, and then I went to a college called Cedar Crest, which is in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's very, very bleak. Anything exciting happen in those schooling times?
There was no excitement during schooling. I just went to school.
Nice.
No, there are plenty of exciting things. I was a performer then, and I am a performer now.
You said you went to school for choreography, right?
I did go to school for choreography.
What does that even entail? I don't even think that's a... Is that a...
Like is a fake degree that you pay back anyway? It is. I went to school for choreography because that is the funniest thing you can spend thousands of dollars on. It's also a great way to disappoint your family. I also danced for a very long time, and I'm pretty good at it. But, yeah.
So what type of dance moves do you got?
Oh, I got
all
them all.
You got all of them? That's sweet. What would you do as a choreographer? How does that relate to what you do now, I guess?
I mean... Choreography is structuring movement together, so I had a dance company. I would create art through the bodies of my dancers,
nice.
And then we would present it places. As far as stand-up now, jokes are the same. Choreography is storytelling without words, and comedy is storytelling with words. So it's all still trying to explain an experience.
All wrapped up into one.
Yeah.
In your time in Pennsylvania, did you think like you wanted to be a stand-up comedian or?
It's actually funny. My kindergarten teacher asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I told her a stand-up comic. What an arrogant jerk, right? Like, what an arrogant child to be, you know. And then everyone started booing at me and be like, "Tell some jokes," you know. And I sat by myself for the next 13 years.
Nice.
But no, I always really loved comedy. I always watched stand-up as a kid. My siblings and I are, like, really into it, and so it was funny, like, when I was like, I think I'm going to try to go down this path, you know, my father immediately was like, I don't love you, and my mom was the one that was like, well, you remember you told your kindergarten teacher you wanted to do this, and I was like, wow, and, you know, trust your five-year-old self.
So is that, like, the first moment you think, like, you wanted to do stand-up, or, like, that was kind of like a dream? But, like, when was there a moment that you were like, I'm going to do this, like, for sure?
The thing about it is that, like, you know, when I was a choreographer, like, I mean, and then I did improv and I did theater and I was always very funny. Like, I was the class clown in high school. Like, I always liked making jokes. And if I had to do, like, a presentation or, like, talk in front of, like, the student body or something, it was always, like, I always found a way to, like, make it humorous. So I feel like I was doing it longer than I thought. And then when I came out to Los Angeles... It wasn't even for comedy. I was just working in reality TV, and everybody on set would be like, hey, do you do stand-up? And I was like, no, you know, because everyone's got, like, a side hustle in L.A., and I'm like, no. And then over time, it just got kind of irritating, and people were like, you should do it. Then I was like, fine, I'll try it. And so then I did.
You said you're a sound mixer, so you kind of have always, like, your career now is kind of wrapped up in the industry. What do you think about that, I guess? Is there anything... You said you're a sound mixer for reality TV specifically, right?
Yes.
Do you use a lot of the material on those ridiculous TV shows for your...
For my comedy?
Yeah.
Not really. People ask that a lot, that they're like, oh my gosh, you ever talk about set? But I think what's hard... Like, in Los Angeles, I guess I wouldn't need as much of a setup to those jokes because a lot of us are around this or work in the business, and so they get it. But it's like when I start touring around the country as I do, you know, it's kind of the sound mixer is like the hardest position to explain to a layman. Like when I got hired as a sound mixer was the first time I realized that that was a job. Yeah. Like no one, there's no respect for that person. And yeah.
So what age were you when you started comedy?
When I started comedy?
Yeah.
Like actually doing stand-up?
Yeah.
I was 30.
Okay. So that took you a while to kind of fall into that career path, would you say?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, to do strictly stand-up, yes.
And you perform all across the country, right? You said?
Yes, I have been, yeah.
So what are your favorite cities to go to?
I just came back from Arizona. Phoenix is rad. I actually did like a hot minute in Oklahoma City. I like that place a lot. It's kind of a tiny community, but it's fun. I was like going home. I'm going to hit up New York next month, see what that's like. But yeah, just trying to expand as much as we can.
Are you taking any other avenues of comedy? Like, you know, comedy is really starting to become popular on like social media. Have you thought about going in that way, or are you strictly an onstage performer?
I mean, social media is so much a part of being a stand-up comic. I kind of like hate it. Like it like makes it feel like a job. And you know, I have a social media presence, but I don't do as much on it as I would just performing comedy. Like, you know, doing a show no matter where it is, or even if I'm just doing a mic, it's like that grimy, gritty getting in there and figuring it out. It's like that's what I'd rather do than just like make a sketch so that people think I'm fun.
Right. I see all these people on Instagram and stuff that are like you could tell they're never gonna do anything in comedy, but they just make this silly sketch. So I agree with you. I think it's unfair. I think they're doing like a different
Well, I think it's a different genre. The thing that, and especially in Los Angeles, which is why I like to check out different scenes of comedy throughout the country, because it's like, you know, LA is everybody, you know, a lot of stand-ups that are you know, they do stand-up comedy, but they're like, yeah, because like my commercial agent wants me to have like another thing on my resume. Mm-hmm. Like they don't want to be a comic. And when you really start to hone in on some of these people, you see that some of them are using this as a tool, and then there's those of us that are like, I actually want to live out of a vending machine for the rest of my life, just on the road, you know, and it's like, oh, that person wants to be a comic. You know, like, first and foremost, I want to be a comic. You want to give me a sitcom? You want me to be in your sketch? Yeah, that's cool. I'm not going to say no to it, but I'm never going to give up this part of it, because the performance element, so even if I do stuff on social media, it's like, it's fun, but it doesn't take away the fact that it's like, all I want to do is go hold that mic and feel like, you know, the most embarrassing person in the world.
Why do you think that is? That's so random. Because like, is it the struggle? Like you like that adversity of like, not like living the high life. You know, you're kind of like on the road, and like, is there something that excites you about that?
I love being on the road. I mean, even with reality TV, like I, you know, traveled a lot. I like checking out America and seeing what's going on and you know, other countries and stuff. But there's something about testing out your material to the like places that you probably don't fit into their demographic, you know, that you are the outsider. And it's a fun challenge to be like, is this horribly dark joke going to work in a red state? Like, I am a Los Angeles comic, you know, like, and that's the challenge, is to be like, are we all on the same twisted level? Are we all looking at life from, like, can you see it from the lens that I'm trying to show you? You know, plus I just like telling people about really sad experiences that happened to me because now they're funny. Yeah.
Right. I bring that up because this comedian I like a lot named Chris D'Elia, I don't know if you know him,
yeah,
but he always says, like, you could be funny, but you can't be a stand-up comedian. Like, there's a completely different thing about it. And I think it's interesting that you say you stem from a choreographer background, because in a lot of ways, comedy is just, like, choreographing, you know, people and your jokes, really. You know, you could be a funny goofball like me, but you could totally tell that you're more advanced in the stand-up world just from, you know, the way you're chill and, like, you understand the struggle. So
it is struggle.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I could agree with Chris D'Elia that like it's
like my question is like, do you think anybody could be a stand-up comedian if they just put the time in?
No. Here's the thing. Anything you put the time into, you're going to get better with. What I see is it's really you're your own critic. You know, like you're getting like the audience responses and stuff like that that's explaining to you that you're like, oh, okay, that joke works. But even sometimes people have laughed at punchlines to mine, and then I've talked to comics and they're like, I don't actually get that joke because of how you say it. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. Why are they laughing? You know, like, it's like the question of like, are they laughing at you? Are they laughing with you? Or are they laughing at the situation? And sometimes that's a confusing thing to hear. Like, you're like, is it because that was really funny what I said? Is it because like, you know, there's toilet paper on the bottom of my shoe? Like, I mean, like what's going on? Is it because like I'm failing right now and I am so unaware how bad I'm doing that you're laughing at how awkward, like, I mean, so I think what it is like watching people grow as comics, you need this form of self-awareness. I don't think you can teach anybody to be funny. I think like you kind of are, you are. I think everybody has their own, audiences. And it takes forever. Comedy takes forever and people get really frustrated with it. I mean, I get frustrated with it all the time. My dad will tell me that he's like, no, I totally think that you could be successful doing this, but like, what's taken so long? And I'm like, I love you. You know, like, it takes forever and it gets frustrating because, you know, you start to have, it's this constant win and loss forever. And it's continuing to go deeper and deeper inside of yourself and being like, what am I able to pull this time? Like, how vulnerable do I want to get with a bunch of strangers? Like, do I want to talk about this now? And I think it takes people a long time to get to that. And I think that a lot of people give up before it.
I agree.
If that answers your question.
Was there a time where you ever felt like you wanted to give up?
Yes.
Or
every day.
Why is that? Can you explain like one of your worst nights and how you overcame it? A triumphant story.
Oh man. I was at a mic. This is a couple months ago, actually. It was at 10 p.m. And I was kind of like a little out of it. And I wanted to work on this like new bit, which is kind of like anti-feminist. Yes, I know I'm a lady. But I tried using one of the guys that comes to the mic a lot in it. And I was like, hey, yeah. Like he got off stage on like his weird like hate rant that you hear a lot at mics. And I just started being like, hey, man, like, you know, we're not so different. Like, I hate women, too. And I was about to go into my thing. And, like, he was like, I don't hate women. And I was like, okay, like, I'm just kidding. And he was like, are you just going to stare at me now, Ellen? And I was like, yes. Like, oh. Now, like, it's like it phased me because, like, he, like, I mean, in reality, like, you know, you just to stay in that present moment, like, and I stopped being present and I, like, was in my head and I'm like, I can't figure this out. And so, like, for 5 minutes, like, I was just like, I don't know how to, all I wanted to do was work on this joke. And I was just kind of, like, using you as, like, a quick in to the joke. And then you got mad at me. And now, like, we're just having this, like, conversation. That was a waste of my $5. But it, you know, it's a reflection of going back that I was, like, you know, a lot of times I think if you mess up in comedy, you have stopped being present. Like, you're not aware of the situation, you can't hear what's going on, you can't hear yourself. And it's hard because, I mean, even in just, like, a normal life setting, like, they're always, you know, like, Eckhart Tolle, like, you know, power of now, like, being the present, you guys have to read that type of garbage, I did. But it's true, it's like, if you're in the present moment, you know what I mean, because it's like, the past is the past, and the future, you don't know what's going on, and you should just be staying here, but it's very... our minds are it's hard to stay that way.
Right.
And in stand-up, it's like, you have to be there. You have to be there while at the same time being like, okay, I'm telling this story or this bit, and this is how I rehearsed it. And it can, anytime you fall off of that present and get phased by it, you know, it's a huge lesson to remember to come back to it, but it feels really, really bad when you're in it.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah.
I'm the worst at that, at trying to be present. It's funny that you bring that up, but... yeah, I'll mess up like a speech in class like 5 years ago, and I'll be in the shower just thinking about it, and I'll just like cringe so hard. And I'm like, oh, why did I, like, I have moments like that all the time of just like utter shame in like the most random places. So I feel like a lot of comedians, do you just become numb to that? Like you're just like, you know, it happens so often that...
The number you are, I feel like the better you can handle it. I mean, so much of it is taking, you know, your perspective, your lens on life, and so much of it comes from sadness. It's like, you know, early comedy is vaudeville. It's a guy getting a pie in the face. It's a guy falling down a flight of stairs. You know, like, we as humans love watching somebody experience misfortune because we know it's there, you know, and we don't want to experience it, though we all do. Mm-hmm. But there's something with human nature that you feel connected to someone by being like, can I tell you about the worst day in my life? And everyone's like, yeah, you know, and by you exposing that and being vulnerable, somehow you can compel an audience because everyone's like, I've had a bad date, or I know what it's like to get in a fight with my family, or I remember when I got fired from a job, you know, or fell down a flight of stairs, like, you know, at a Macy's. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, whatever it is, we've all had something to relate to it. And we want to hear that because we're all fallible and we don't want, and you have to be. I mean, we're all going to fail. Mm-hmm. And comics, I think, are just reminding us of these failures and making those experiences feel a little bit more normal instead of detrimental.
Right.
If that makes sense.
That totally makes sense. I'm right there with you. What have you changed about your comedy over the years?
It's much darker.
Oh, okay.
It's much darker. When I started, I had like my set. I wasn't present. I would kind of stay in those things. Like, you know, when I would say a punchline and like the joke didn't hit, I'd be like, oh my God, what's going on? You know, and I think I did a, like, it was always kind of dark, but I think it's just gotten more sounding like how I sound. It's a little bit darker as far as the topics that I cover, and it's more me. And that's, you know, I mean, all the, you know, if you study like big comics, like, you know, through history, like all of them that come up material is just finding more and more. Keep going in, like, you know,
yeah,
and
true.
Get more. And it's like the further you start going into the rabbit hole of yourself, you're like, oh, this horrible thing, you know, like, let's go tell a bunch of strangers that, see if that's funny, you know, like, yeah.
No, yeah, that's interesting. Is there such a thing as taking it too far? Do you find times where you're going into yourself and you could tell an audience is like, oh, this is too personal? Do you ever, like, stop for a second and say, maybe I shouldn't talk about that? Or do you always just go in, like, this is who I am?
I think I usually go in. One of the benefits, I feel like, to what my humor sounds like is I could say some really horrible stuff, but for whatever reason, the tone of my voice sounds a little charismatic and compassionate, so people are like, she's kidding. And I'm like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, it's all, I mean, that's another thing in just the self-awareness of, like, what is the vibe that you're giving off? So it's like, if you're going to go in and do comedy, one of the best things I could say is, like, who are you and what do people think you are like? You know, like, if you have a tone that, like, is always dry and everyone never thinks you're being sarcastic and like people get offended by it, it's like, if you're gonna go into comedy, everyone else is gonna think that, so how are you gonna use it? So I think for me, mine is that I know that I say these sarcastic things, but the way that it comes out of my mouth is humorous, that I've said some horrible stuff on stage and people are like, those were great set, like, and I'm like, oh, you're a monster, like, what, are you serious, like, that you got into that? That's horrifying. But I don't ever want to put like an end on comedy. Like, I think right now with how we're all divided,
oh yeah,
people are nervous about, like, you can't say this, you can't say that, and I'm like, get out of stand-up and remember that, like, this has always been an art form where people have made fun of the president, where people make fun of, like, the situations of how we live, of, like, you know, it's like, if we can still make fun of, like, our husbands and wives and relationships, it's like, then we can make fun of anything. Like, it shouldn't, you don't want to stick to this surface thing. And the cool thing about comedy is, like, anything else, like, hey, you don't like the show?
Yeah, you just leave.
Bye. Yeah. Like, don't worry about it. Like, cause there's a market for people, and you don't have to sit here.
It's very true. How often do you receive a heckling? We were talking about a heckling story previously. Can you explain to the listeners, like, that don't understand what it's like to be heckled? How you receive it and...
Heckles are, I don't get them that often. That one was horrible because it was a comic that I know, and we both kind of dislike each other. So it was like, ugh, of course it's you.
Do you have like a go-to slam, like when someone heckles you? I know comedians often like carry like a, like four or five, just like, I can hit you quick with it.
I don't get heckled very often. people kind of like my offerings. No, I think that, like, you got to be in the moment of, I know that I don't really have, like, a go-to. Like, I'm sure, like, I would probably do, like, a hack easy one of being like, thanks, Dad. Like, you know, I love you. but, I mean, also, like, a heckle sometimes is, like, are you deserving of this right now? Like, you know, and I think that's something that people tend to forget is, like, a lot of people are like, this is my time. And it's just like, yeah, but did you just say something stupid? Like, the best heckle I ever received was actually this extremely, extremely hammered guy. And I was talking about how I went to school for dance. It was very early on. And it was the strangest thing because I was like, yeah, I went to school for choreography. And his heckles were positive. And he was like, oh, my gosh, that's so amazing. Can we get this girl a drink? Like, what a very interesting. And it's just like, sir, like, you're throwing me off just by being so supportive right now. Like, it's the strangest heckle, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you – I think some people do try to, like, make a, like, oh, this is going to have this in, like, the back of my head just in case that happens. It's just like – but, again, just stay present because you don't know how it's going to happen. And maybe you'll get in a fight with someone, and that's kind of cool. Right? Why we got to be nice all the time?
Exactly. Well, I think we've got some stellar advice to future comics. Looks like we got, like, 3 or 4 minutes left. I'm going to hit you with some hard questions. I've been hitting you with hard questions this whole time.
Yeah, super hard.
Yeah, okay. So do you have any advice to someone in college right now who doesn't know really what they want to do but is interested in pursuing comedy?
Someone in college right now who doesn't... Yeah. So you're,
community
you,
college.
So you don't have a major.
You have a major. Let's say like I'm going to school for med school because my parents want me to.
Okay.
But I've always wanted to do comedy. Like that's like my passion.
Start going to open mics.
Okay.
Start going to open mics. Always record your set. I don't care what anybody says to you. Record your set. It's going to sound like garbage when you first start listening to it, but you need it to go back to it. Go to open mics. I mean, anything with comedy is just starting to go, and it's all time. You know, and if you're going to learn, you need to hone your voice. You need to hone your material. You know, you need to put yourself in different situations. So it's just experience with doing it and, you know, stay in school so that you could have a day job because it's going to take you a while to make money.
Well said. Well said indeed. We have 2 minutes left. Seems like that's all the time we have for me. I hope you enjoyed another episode of Comedy with Cameron, A Job That's No Laughing Matter. I'd like to thank Ellen Doyle for joining me today, giving stellar advice, inspiring advice. For such a great interview, the least I can do is give you some plug time. So if you have anything coming up, any websites to go to, any upcoming dates.
You know, yeah, you can follow me on Facebook at Ellen Doyle, Instagram at This Broken Adult. Sometimes I tweet, and it's comic Ellen Doyle, but I hate Twitter. But I will Instagram for you. I have a show on Friday that I'm hosting in North Hollywood. It's free. It's at the Fourth Wall. It's free. And that's a good one. That's a late night one. It's at 11 p.m. You can find it on my Instagram. It's at the Fourth Wall.
Okay.
And yeah, that's a good one. It's a late night one where we all are kind of, we're doing longer sets, but we're also working out material. So it's a good kind of raw, edgy show to kind of see how we all work out something new.
Right. And you're a sound mixer. You could catch her name in the credits, right?
Reality shows. Don't ever go into that business ever. The money is excellent. You will feel trapped there. Follow your dreams. Follow your dreams.
Okay. See you guys next time. I'm Cameron Kern with KPCRadio.com.